John Beasley joins us here on WVTF. John, you know, I was thinking about this second recording by your group, Monkestra, and one of the things I thought was super effective as an arranger is when you're dealing with Thelonious Monk's songs, there's almost a tendency to sort of be, to treat them as something sacred. And so how do you as an arranger do some of the same things that Bill Holman and others have done, where you've taken these really durable songs and made them live in some other way?
Well, I listen to my inner music, you know, the music's in my head, and this is, I try to do the best to try to help that come out. I actually don't, you know, do a lot of listening, you know, other than to Monk's recordings and, you know, play them on the piano a little bit, just because I just want to do my thing to it. You know, I don't want to be swayed in any way. It's not to say that I don't love those records. I do. You know, it to me, it's more like improvisation. This is sort of the way I play. I like to be open to all kinds of possibilities, and I'm just writing it down, if you will, as opposed to playing it. So a lot of times I'll write away from the piano and sort of sing consciousness, direct to consciousness, what's in my head, grooves while I'm walking or whatever, or an idea will come in my head and I'll sing into my iPhone. Sometimes I'll get lucky and get a whole form down. So it's more of a direct thing than writing at the piano. Sometimes you tend to write what you already know. You know, when you're singing into the phone or whatever, you're singing lines that you're hearing, and they might not be accurate, but you can always transcribe it later. With Monkestra, you know, I know these guys now. We've done two records, and I can write certain things for knowing specifically what their bag is, in a way, what their sound is, you know, like Ugly Beauty. The opening of Ugly Beauty is actually the chord that Monk plays in his intro. He does an arpeggio, and that's the voicing he's played. I sort of made it into a groove, sort of a jungly Amazonian, you know, nighttime, lots of bugs in the air and critters. Set the table that way. Sort of a dangerous paradise, you know. Then somehow I was writing that day and ended up on, you know, the last chord of Ugly Beauty, and then Panonica. You know, it just worked that it was a half step lower, and it fit like a glove. That was a good accident. We'll be right back.
Is it helpful or harmful for you as an arranger when dealing with Monk's music that, you know, sometimes these songs start in one key and end on another?
Oh, that's all good. That's even more fodder for imagination and inspiration.
Do you consider that some of the work that you've done for film and television sort of influences the way that you write arrangements for this music? And the reason why I ask that specifically is because as I'm listening to this recording, it's almost like there are scenes within individual songs.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, you know, atmosphere is everything, right? Especially in film music, and, you know, it's a way of transporting your listener to another world. And I guess I am a sum of my parts, you know. I've worked a lot on scores, and I've been in electronica, so that kind of helps with a palette of some sort, and maybe that transferred to actually writing for an organic band like Monkestra. But I'm glad you feel that way. That's cool that it's sort of visual in a way.
I love Crepuscule with Nelly. I love the original too, because, you know, when I first heard that recording, something dawned on me about that particular piece. When I listened to the original from Monk, I thought, oh, you don't have to improvise for it to be jazz.
Yeah, you can improvise your feeling into it, you know? And in a way, that's what classical players do. They put their feeling into it, you know, hopefully what they're feeling at the most. Certainly Glenn Gould did, you know, and later classical, you know, like 20th century music and romantic period, sure. Yeah, right? It's kind of cool that it's not a tune to blow on in a way. That one is probably as close to the original as I've ever done with a Monk tune. I stuck pretty much to the form. I did open it up a little bit for Regina to blow, but for the most part, it's pretty much accurate.
And I think she makes a really oblique reference to Moody's Mood for Love, and then all of a sudden it turns into this slow jam.
Yeah, there's also da 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 do da 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 do da. You know, she does a little straight note chaser in there too.
John Beasley, tell me a little bit more about the decision to do Break's Sake the way you did it. I mean, this is a little bit far off course from G.G. Grice.
I was walking in my neighborhood, and maybe that's a walking tempo. I started hearing like a funk beat with it, a backbeat and a funk beat. And then I started singing these sort of Michael Jackson, Earth, Wind & Fire-esque trumpet lines over it. In the melody, the original melody, there's these groups of five. Do dee da do do 1 2 3 4 5 right. I really wanted to incorporate that a lot, so I used that motif at the end of the trumpet section to lead in to a modulation. I just did the modulation, and then from that point you hear one chord. You know, jazz is like the courage to, you know, go from one note to the next, if you will, and that one chord inspired that whole middle section where Dante raps over.
cut, album 664, the year of our Lord. Monk, the mysterious, genius, alchemist, eccentric, yet original, atypical and transcendental. Prolific, no gimmicks, all miracles. If we don't protect the history, we let them change the story. Progenitor, I introduce rap to the oldest music conservatory. Monk introduced harmony, rhythmic augmentation and diminution. Genius without category.
Every composer's music has a unique set of challenges. What are the ones that you have to address when you're looking at Thelonious Monk's music? Is it a tune-by-tune, case-by-case basis, or are there some things that are very particular about how Monk wrote that are really challenging for an arranger to work with?
The challenge of Monk's music to play in original form, it's very intervallic. It's hard to play. The intervals are hard for not only a pianist, but especially for horn players, and especially for trumpet players, because of all the leaps. So you double down in a way when you write, and if you are the second alto player or the third trombone player or the second or third trumpet player, not only are you playing these difficult intervallic sections or phrases, but you're playing harmonized versions of those. So I got comments like, you know, wow, I feel like I'm sort of on an island playing, you know, in this section, you know. And sometimes it took them, you know, it sort of took until we were actually recording volume one in the studio, and they came in to listen to the take where there was aha moments like, oh, now I get it, you know? So those are two big, huge challenges right there. You know, rhythmically it's great, you know, because it's funky music. You know, Monk is funky, and a groove is a groove is a groove is a groove. But like I said, playing those inner voicings were a big challenge. A lot of these, even other tunes, you know, I write to clave even if they're swing tunes, you know, just to have some kind of pulse when I'm listening back and sort of a rhythmic foil. I love writing to clave. You know, that's one.
Played twice. Can you do that?
Ding. Ding, ding. I don't know if I could sing and play it. It's six. It would be 6/8 clave because it's swing. It's ding, basically, that's it. Dun dun dunk gung gung ding sticks to ding sticks to ding dick to dick ding gink gink gack gink 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 bee boom bee boom boo doo 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 boo bee dun gack 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 dick dee da goo gack stoop doo chick doo doo doo. Elvin Jones.
Interesting.
Straight up.
John Beasley, what does it mean to live with music? You've been doing it for a while.
What does it mean to live with music? It goes through phases. You know, go through periods when you're working a lot and you don't have time to study or practice as much as you want or even listen. Then you go through phases where, you know, you can totally belly gaze and learn and have time to listen and come up, you know, and somehow find those quiet times to where you can actually hear new music in the head. And then there's those times where the business side gets busy, like lately for me with booking Monkestra and taking care of the business side of, you know, with traveling with 16 musicians and contracts. And then you have times when you're not working at all and you have time to belly gaze, if you will, but then you're worried about when the next gigs come. So it's, you know, it's sort of in flux, and I've had to learn how to balance that act.
Well, we look forward to you and the Monkestra stopping in Roanoke, Virginia at the Jefferson Center. It's Wednesday, October 11th. And the new recording on Mack Avenue Records is John Beasley Presents Monkestra Volume 2. John, thanks so much for your time and for being with us here on WVTF.